Khalif Khidup Yisuri Hanoah comes in incidentally, but it's an important sugya on Dalad on that. So for that, you don't have to focus on Goy, Kuti, and Khidup Yisuri Hanoah, but you should get straight all the Gemaras and the major Rishonim from Dalad Amud Aleph through Vav Amud Aleph on the Mumer issues, which means pay attention to the issue of Mumer L'chala Torah Kula, the status of Mumer L'Avodah Zarah and L'chalas HaShabbos Farhesia, obviously L'Hachis and L'Teyavon. And we'll have to just also look at the same time for some of the other categories, Masur, Min generally, what is their status? And we're interested in applying the issue of Mumar across several categories. So in our Sugya, obviously the main issue is Shechita, but the Gemara already brings in Karbanos, and it also affects other things like Stam, when you're Soref, in the case of Stam, as opposed to Yiganes. It also affects the question of Moridin Vilomalin, other such questions, question of Yeshlem or Inlem, Chelek La'olam Haba, several other issues. So again, do the local Gemaras first. Don't have to do with this. That's Dalet Amud Aleph through Vav Amud Aleph. Rashi tells us, I already told you, look at the Rosh and the Ran. They capture some of the major issues. What is the definition of Lahachis as opposed to L'Teyavon? There's a major debate about that. What is L'Teyavon? Also debate between the Rambam and other Rishonim. Whether L'Teyavon is limited to Oso, Mumer L'Oso Davar, or L'Teyavon is a more general category. Between the Rambam and other Rishonim. So look at the Rosh and the Ran, the Rashi and Tosas. Also look at the Rambam, obviously, the local Rambam of Shechita. I'll give you the others in a minute. The Riaz and Shilta Giborim, some people say that's a Rashi hold, but it's just more explicit on Aleph. Amud Aleph and the Dape Harif, look at that as well. And the Chidush HaRajba on Dalet Amud Beis and Hey Amud Aleph is very important, as well as the Taurus Abayas discussions between the Ra'ah and the Rajba on Mumer L'Hachis, the definition of Mumer L'Hachis, and what the Machlokas Min or Mumar, what that case is all about. So again, the Chidusha Rajba and Da'ono Beis and Heyom and Aleph, as well as Torah Sabayis, Mishmer Sabayis, and Bedek Abayis on the question of Mumer L'Hachis. Also the exchange in Torah Sabayis regarding Mumer L'Teyavon, we already discussed, and we'll discuss again today, the question of whether Mumer L'Teyavon is included in Rov Mitzvah Netzach Shechita Mumchen Hein. But there's another interesting issue, and that is the question of, let's say the Taurus Abayis discusses what happens if there is, you weren't Bodek Sakin in advance, but now you know that there are two Sakinim Bebeso, and he says, I shechted with the, you know, with the Sakin which was Kosher. Do you believe him or don't you believe him? If you don't know 100% that sakin was present or accessible to him at the time of the shechita. Okay, that's a debate between the Rajba and the Ra'ah. So again, look at that discussion as well. That's important. Okay, that's for the local issues. I'll probably add a few other things, but at least in general. Supplement that with a few other things, and that is the Gemara, the Shaklavataria in Horios, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Tosas already makes allusion to it on Dalet Amud Beis. Right, Horios Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. The Gemara's discussion there about Karban, in parallel partially to our Gemara, but then the Gemara discusses the Machlokas of Ravina and Ravacha, whether or not a Mumer L'Hachis is considered a Min or a Mumar. That Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Rashi there. And look at the Tosas HaRosh there, the comment that he has about Yayin Nesach, or Shtias Yayin. That's an interesting line. And also the Gemara that overlaps that, but has some other things as well, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, I think it begins on the last words, the last couple of words on Chav Vav Amud Aleph, but mainly the Gemara on Chav Vav Amud Beis and Avodah Zarah, also on these issues, Moridim V'Lomalin, the Gemara is discussing. But it brings in the question of, again, whether Mumer L'Hachis is a min or not. The Rashi Tosas there, the Rosh and the Ran there as well. And the Ritva there, sorry, in Avodah Zarah. B'Shem Ha'ra'ah. Also look at the Gemara in Gittin on Mem Hamad Beis. That's the Gemara about Stam. If you have min or a mumar who are kosev stam, you know, when we say yisarev, and look at the ran there on that gemara memhewin base, 2 days in the ran, whether that's a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanon, it's very important. Look at the Rambams, obviously, in all these areas. Hilchos Shechita, of course, Hilchos Maaser Karbanos, Gimel Dalet, Hilchos Shkagos, Gimel Zayin, beginning of Perek Dalet, I think, Hilchos Rotzeach, where he talks about, Malam Velo Maridin, and also Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud, Perek Gimel Hilchos Tshuva, where he talks about Chelek L'Olam Haba, Perek Aleph Hilchos Tfilin. You'll find the Rambams in the different places. Also, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Machlokas between Abaye and Rava, whether Mumar, Ochel, Litayavon, or Lahachis are Psulim Leidos, and the Rambam in Perik Yud, and the beginning of Perik Yud Aleph of Hilchos Eidos. Also, look at the Magen Avram in Simin Lamed Tes, that's regarding again Ksiva Stam, and the Shach in the beginning of Simin Resh Pei Aleph. On Ksiva Stam, very important discussion there. Also, the Shach in Simin Reish Nun Aleph in Yoredeya. And if you get a chance, the Tshuva of Rabbi Kiveger, that they all quote a lot, Simin Samech Tes in the Tshuvas. And of course, look at the local Psak here, the Psakim in Yoredeya, Simin Beis. How do we pass in the Halacha about Mumr L'Avodah Zarah, Mumr L'Shabbos, Mumr L'Lahachis, Mumr L'Tayavon? Etc. Again, it's a big topic. We're going to try to do it as quickly as we can. We're not going to be able to cover everything, but at least it's a very important topic. And this is definitely as good a place as ever, as anywhere else to do it. Okay, let's turn our attention now to Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hei. We began discussing this last Tuesday. I think what we did so far is we noted that there are several Gemaras that deal with the topic. There's our Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis. Where you have a machlokas, whether Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hei or not, seems clear. Then you have the Gemara in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, just to get us back to where we were. Right there, the Gemara discusses that several things. Kol Tavok Sheni Yodeh Hochus Shechita Aser Lachol B'Shechita So, and we discussed whether or not that is true, even in the case of Omid Al Gabov or not, and if so, why would that be so? Again, the Tosas. Here on Gimel Amud Beis and Rashi and Tes Amud Aleph, and the question in general whether Mishenu Yodei Hilchos Shechita is possible in terms of his nemanus, whether there's a minui requirement. We discuss all these questions, whether or not Choshesh in the Nevela, because Rov Masav Mekulkalim, what about Osos V'Espino, what about Kiseda? We discuss that and try to connect that also to the question of Kol, I suggested to connect it to Kol Milsa. Or Kol Mili de Rami Alei De'inish Lava Date as well, that maybe this would be different from other cases. So that's one halacha. It's one issue. Then the Gemara's continuation about Tabach Tzor Sheyivdok V'simanim La'achar Shechita and the Machlokas, whether or not that is going to be a Nevela or Trepad, whether that's a Din D'oraisa or Din D'rabbanan. Machlokas between Tosa says that the whole thing is only D'rabbanan because Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumkin Hain and other Rishonim disagree. That's a very important issue. And then you have the Gemara in Yud Beis Amud Aleph, which is where the Rif and the Ramban and the Balamor discuss the issue. And that is the question of Ra Echot Sheshachat Im Ra'o Mitzchila Ve'ad Sof Muto Lecho Mishritaso M'lav Asa Lecho Mishritaso Idi Yada De Gamir Lameli Idi Yada De Lo Gamir Pshita. We discuss that. El De La Yada I Gamir Lo Gamir. That's the question of Ra'o Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hain. And then the Gemara continues continued discussion here about someone who is Hashavdalo Gediyav V'Tarnagolav Halachum Etzan Shchutim, the question of Ashpa or Bias or Ashpa B'Bias, that whole discussion, and that's where you have the whole discussion of the Rif. What if somebody shechts and he leaves town, Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hain? What does that imply about if he is present? So basically, you have these three major Gemaras. One is Gimel Amud Beis, the other is Tes Amud Aleph, the other is Yud Beis Amud Aleph. They all seem to be discussing the question of Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hain. We know that there's a Machlokes. We also know that Lahalacha there's a Machlokes. The Rif quotes that on Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We also know that almost all Rishonim, Paskin, that Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen. Okay, then we went on to just point out that there seems to be a major debate about the scope of this halacha. To what does it apply? We know that it applies technically to mumchius in Shechita. In other words, we're not worried, Shema Shaha, Shema, Akar B'simanim. We're not worried about that because of Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenei. But will it also apply, you know, beyond that? But number one, will it apply to a piece of meat on a, you know, on a plate? Will you say, oh, Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenei, the piece of meat is probably Nishchat Keroi? That's the Rabbeinu Baruch and the Mordechai who takes it very, very far. It's hard to say that that has anything to do with a particular issue. We don't even know that there was a Shochet. For all we know, that's why the other Rishonim don't like it. Tells us in Gittin Daf, Beis on the base, and the Or Zeruah here in the beginning of a Shechita, right? And the Mordechai himself, the other days that he quotes, for all you know, the guy took an axe and he chopped off the head of the animal, and we don't even know that there was a Shechita. So we don't know anything about there even being a Shechita. Can you still say Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen? Hey, that would be a huge chiddush. That's what Rabbeinu Baruch says in the quote in the Mordechai. Most Rishonim think that's not correct, that at least we have to know that there was an act of Shechita to say Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen. Then the next level is, well, will you still say Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen, even if you know there's a Shechita, but if there was no Bedikas Hasimanim? Because maybe Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita just means that the Shechita was done properly. I mean, there was no Shehiyah, there was no Drasa, there wasn't any of that. But how do we know that actually all the Simanim were properly cut? Do we know that? Do you need to know that the Simanim were cut to then apply Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen? Do you need to know that there was not only a Shechita, but a Bedikas HaSimanim? So that, as we pointed out, that's partly what Tosfos is talking about on Tes Amud Aleph, when he says that, you know, Midaraisa, you apply Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita in that case. And that's also the debate between the Ramban and the Bahag. Believe Bedikas Siman. Do you say this idea, even if you're not sure that, you know, there was a Shochet, you know there was a Shechita knife, but you don't know that there was Rav Simanim, will you still say Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita? Now, the language of the Ramban is interesting, because the Ramban says Kazaka al Chaver, right, She'eno Meniach, you know, Davar She'eno Metuka and Tachas Yado. The question is that basically Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenhein, which is what Tosa certainly understands, or is that a separate Chazaka? Because once you know that the dealing with a Shochet, so then there's a separate Chazaka at Chaver Eino Meniach Davar She'eno Metuka and Tachas Yado. That kicks in the general idea of Cheskas Chaver. So I think that's an important question. But either way, this is an important argument in the Rishonim. Very practically, obviously, very, very important. And we'll see in a moment conceptually as well. Now, the third issue is, does this apply to Mumar L'Teyava? Right? Does Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hein, right, even if it doesn't apply to meat, and it doesn't apply when you're not sure that there was Shechitas HaSimanim, right? But let's say you know that there was Shechitas HaSimanim, and now the question is simply to rely on Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen, but you know the Shochet was a Mumar L'Teyavon. Will you apply this rule or not? So that too is a debate among Rishonim. The Ra'ah says explicitly that you don't apply Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen to Mumar L'Teyavon. The Rajba says that you do. The Rajba understood from the Rambam that you don't. He understood that the Rambam was like the Ra'ah. But the Rajba himself, in several places, the Ran, also the Rosh, they pick up on this. They're of the opinion that Rav Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchen Hein applies to Mumar L'Teyavon as well. Okay, so these are three important issues about the scope. When do we apply this halacha and when don't? We'll just add one other for the moment, and then we'll backtrack for a moment. Tosas on Daf Yud Beis, Amud Aleph, has a comment, because the case is a case of Avad Gedi. Right, so Tosas says, Harish Avdilo Gedayav, Hu Adin Nignivu, says Tosas. The Mishum, the Chashid, Agneva lo Chashid Anavela, Ubitosefta Ktani Behedja, Nignivalo Tarnagolas Umitzah. That's the Tosefta, and that's what Tosis quotes here on Yud Beis of Aleph, that if you find a Gedi, Shachot, it doesn't matter whether it was lost or whether it was stolen. Either way, we rely on Rov Mitzui Neitzo Shchita Mumchen Hei. So the Beis HaLevi has a big discussion, the Chelik Beis. I told you if you had a chance to look at the Beis HaLevi, it has like seven simanim on this general topic. So in Siman Aleph, he discusses this Tosefta, and he says, if you look carefully at the Rambam, it seems like the Rambam omitted Nignaba, and he only thought it applied to Aveda. And the question is, what do you do with the Tosefta, and how do you explain the Rambam? What's going on here? After all, Tosef makes a good point, which is that the rule is that Choshud Agneva, Lo Choshud Nevela. Right. Discussion in the Mishnah and Bechoros, Daf Lamed and Daf Lamed Hey. When we apply the din of Choshud, when you have somebody who's a Choshud, you know, when do we not believe him? When do we believe him? Especially about Dvarim Acherim. But the rule seems to be that Choshud Al Davar Echad, Eino Choshud Al Davar Acher. So, just because the object was stolen, why should we worry that it wasn't shechted properly? So that's the problem that we need to contend with if we hold, like the Rambam, if Beis HaLevi is right about the Rambam, which is that the Rambam intentionally omitted the case of Nignava, the case of the Tosefta. So the Beis HaLevi suggests, initially, he says, maybe the Rambam is simply Lishitasa. Lishitasa in what sense? Well, the Rambam, as we mentioned before, is of the opinion that, again, I alluded to it in the Bar Makomos, and that is that Mumar L'Teyavon, again, all the Rishonim pretty much all that Mumar L'Teyavon, who requires Vidika Sasakin, is Mumar L'Oso Davar. As we know, that he eats Nevela when he can't find easy access to Shkuta. But if he was a Mumar Ladam, would that make L'Teyava? Would that make him a Mumar L'Chelev? Or if he was a Mumar L'Gneva, would that make him a Mumar L'Nevela? According to all Rishonim, the answer is no. And the Rambam disagrees. Rambam's Shita is that Mumar L'Teyavon, B'davar Echad, is a Mumar L'Teyavon, is treated as a Mumar L'Teyavon, L'davar Acher. In other words, if he's a Mumar L'Inyan some other Iser, he's also requires B'dikas Asakin when it comes to Shchita. So the Beis HaLevi says, maybe the Rambam is Lishitaso, that he thinks that the status of Mumar is something that is, you know, transferable from one Iser to another. So if the guy's a Ganav, so then he's like a Mumar L'Teyavon, and you won't trust his Shchita either. I don't remember if he says this part or not, but maybe in that sense the Rambam is Lishitaso also, because he holds that Mumar L'Teyavon is not included in Rov Mitzui Neitzo Shchita Mumchen Hei. So if you put those two Rambams together, this will work out very, very nicely. Then he says, maybe that's not really true, because there's still a difference between a Mumar and a Chashur. Chashur the Davar may mean he only did it once, or you're not sure if he did it at all. Right? Mumar is somebody who possibly has a certain regilus. Now we'll see whether that's true or not. That's one of the issues that we're going to discuss when it comes to the different categories of mumrim. Right? It might be that we're mechalik between them. Like, when is osa maisa already make you a mumar? And does it ever affect even the maisa that you're involved with? Or do you only become a mumar b'sofa maisa? When do you require some sort of a chazaka, right? Either beis or gimel, pa'amin. Either way, he's not so sure that the Rambam is l'shitasa. So he comes up with another suggestion, and that is, he thinks that whatever you say about the rule that chashud the davar echad eino chashud the davar acher, he says that's true when you're talking about from one ma'isa to another. However, if you're talking about ba'osa ma'isa, literally, right? You do at the same time, at the same time that you're chashud l'davar echad, you're involved in the same maisa in another iser. So then this rule will not apply. Then we'll say chashud l'davar echad, chashud l'davar acher. And if that's the case, then he comes up with something clever. He says, so now the question is, when you're involved in the shechita of a davar haganuv, so are you involved in Geneva still or not? Right? That's last year's question, I guess. So in other words, is the Geneva over and now you're doing Nevela? Right? Or it's a further act of Geneva, kind of a shalom tovech, shalom mocher, or not? So this is the clever part of the Beis Halevi, which you can believe it or not believe in. But basically, he says, oh, maybe the Tosefta holds, stam yiush, works, and therefore, at this point the Geneva is over, and shalom tovech, shalom mocher. And Rambam paskins, in such a case that it's a continuation of the Geneva. And since a continuation of the Geneva, so basically the Nevela and the Geneva are being done at the same time. Since he's a Chashud al HaGeneva, he's a Chashud al Nevela as well. That's the Beis Halevi's suggestion. And then he says, if this is true, so I can be Mechadesh, a new din, a new Iser. And that is, let's say a guy takes a Shvua, and he says, I hereby commit. Let's say you have a shochet, right? And he says, I hereby commit that I'll never be shochet, not in the presence of achere. I'll never be shochet beini levein atzmi. Take a shvua darais. Okay, so if he does such a thing, and then he goes ahead and he shochet beino levein atzmo, so did he just violate the shvua? Or do we have to worry that it's nevela, because robitzu deitzer shkita mumchenhein, maybe it would apply? So the Beis Halevi says, yes, that's exactly the conclusion. It's just like, according to the Rambam, he says this should depend on the Rambam against the other Rishonim. According to the Rambam, who thinks that Nignava is also a hafka of Roman Tzvitz Shkita Mumchenheim, because even though it's an Isra Acher, it's being integrated with the act of Shkita. So too, if you're Nishba Lo Lishchot, and you go ahead and you do it, so at minimum we'll be dealing with Safek Nevela, and you shouldn't apply the din of Rov Metzui Netzer Shechita Mumkene. Okay, so basically the Beis Halevi came up with a new halacha and a new explanation, but basically what the Beis Halevi is now doing is expanding further the limits or restricting further the klal of Rov Metzui Netzer Shechita Mumkene. He's suggesting that Rov Metzui Netzer Shechita Mumkene not only doesn't apply to a Mumar L'Teyavon, right? It won't apply either to a Chashud L'Davar Acher if that Chashad is playing out Ba'osa Maisa of the Shechita. Okay. Now the question is, what's going on here? Why all this debate about Rov Metzui Netzer Shechita Mumkene and where and when it applies? What really is going on here? So I think that on one level, one could say that what we're dealing with is simply, there's a practical question, and that is, really just, the census itself, what does it apply to, at least in some of the cases. Maybe the rove really, or at least the rove is a strong rove, really only applies in the more restricted cases. After all, each expansion definitely structures in several other factors and possibilities which dilute the factual base of the rove. That's certainly true in whatever case we're talking about. In other words, if you have meat on the table, right, and you don't know for a fact that it was shechted, so at minimum what we're saying is, well, rove mitzvah neitzer shechita mumchenhein, but now we have another problem, and that is, in addition to everything else, we're not sure. Maybe rove pieces of meat are nishchat al yedei mumcha, right? But certainly the numbers go down once we're talking about the possibility that it wasn't nishchat at all, right? That doesn't mean there isn't still a rove. The question is, when do you lose the rove, or when do you lose you know, the numbers that make the rove or this particular rove especially effective. And the same is true with regard to bedikas hasimanim, and the same is true with regard to mumar l'tayavon. Right, undoubtedly, you know, when you get to people who are mumar l'tayavon, their training as shochtim is probably likely, not in all cases, you can have the best shochet in the world, you know, and he can be a mumar l'tayavon. Unfortunately, it happens. You know, we all know that it happens. But the fact is that, you know, normally there is a correlation, hopefully, the people who are going into the, you know, the kashrus field and becoming a shochtim, and people's yiras shamayim, or at least, you know, who you allow or who the community will allow to be a shochet. I mean, there can be, you know, mistakes and people can fall through the gaps, but by and large, again, the likelihood of error increases with people who are also just, you know, less yare shamayim. So, well, the correlation isn't perfect at all, because people are peculiar, and people have, you know, yetzer hara, forces them to do things sometimes. But again, I think for every one of the issues of restricting Roman Suyin Etzer Shikamum Kanheim, you can basically make a quantitative, which is what I'm suggesting, a quantitative argument. In all these cases, you could argue that, you know, your numbers are going down considerably in each case. And the same might be true, again, with Chashud and Gneva, to some extent at least. Although here, probably the question of, you know, L'osa davar l'davar acher is less compelling, I would say. That's one possibility. However, I think that it's possible that really the issue is somewhat different. That is as follows. I think there are two possible legal issues involved. One is, when we say Rov Mitzvah Neitzer Shechita Mumchenheim, to what extent are we looking at either the Basar or the Shechita Sabehema on the one hand? It could be either of those too. Or are we really looking at the Shochet, the Gavra Shochet? Is this rove really about basar, or even shchitas behema, or is it about shochtim? I think that's a very important issue, possibly legally, formally. I'll explain in a couple of minutes. But obviously, the more we say, you know, literally, rove mitzui neitzo shchita mumchenein, that the chazaka refers to shochtim, so certainly you're going to exclude basar, where you don't even know there was a shochet. And you may even exclude questions of, was there a shchitas habehema? You need to know that there was a shchitas habehema, including the bedikas hasimanim, perhaps. Right? Unless you say, oh, the gavra shochet can take care of that too. Chazakal chavar sheni motzi miyado davar sheni matukan, which is maybe why the Ramban used that language, even though he didn't mean that it's a separate chazaka. What he meant was, that too is included under the rubric of Rav Mitzuyin, even though Rav Mitzuyin is a din in shochtim, not in Shchitos habehema. Never mind, not a din in basar ala kaara. So the point is, what is the nature of the shchito? What is the nature of this robe? Is it really a din in the gavra, or is it halacha? For example, if it's a din in the gavra, so that might help us with something else. When we talk about whether or not, well, certainly it'll help us with the first, I say, two issues: basar on the plate and the question of simanim. It'll also help us understand the language of the Ramban. But it'll certainly help us also with the question of Mumar, Ochel, Nevelos, L'Teyava. Why? I think the question is as follows. Even if we were to say that Mumar, Ochel, Nevelos, L'Teyavon, you know, as a separate group, it is a segment of society. Okay, so maybe there isn't a Rov Mitzui Neitzo Shechita Mumchene. The question always will be, do we have the right to identify Rov Ochle and the Velos, the Teyavon, as a separate group? Or do we look at the total Shochtim, or the total Behemos, or the total Basar, in which case, even if there is a Miuta, right, even if there is this group of Ochle, Behema, the Teyavon, maybe Al Pidin, we have no right to register them as a separate group with their own Rov and Miut. In other words, anytime you have a rov and a miut, especially a more general one, this is, I think, a very important issue, you always have to justify breaking things down not to apply that more general rov. Because in theory, you could break everything down and there would never be any rov. It's a Tuesday, it's raining. I mean, obviously, there should be things that are somewhat relevant. But the question is, when you have a rov, the whole point is that you're looking at it from the perspective of the totality, and maybe you don't have to break it down. I think this is an important issue in rov and miut generally, is the tendency to break things down as much as possible unless you can't justify it, or is the tendency to universalize and generalize as much as possible unless you can't justify it. So my point is as follows. If rov mitzvin etz shchito mumchen hein is just another way of saying that rov shchitos or rov behemos shchutim or even rov basar are ksherim in a certain context, ir sheruba Yisrael, and so on and so forth, obviously. So if that's the case, so then maybe al pidin we don't have to relate to the question of shochtim mumre l'teyavon as a separate group. Maybe you're right to say, well, that you're right, but they're part of the miut to our batel from the more basic rov, and I want to relate to this question as meat or basar shchuta, not basar shchuta shenishkata al yedei shochet mumar l'teyavon. Right, the very fact that I have to say such a big sentence shows you that that's not necessarily the proper category or framework with which to deal with this problem. The answer is there's a rov. The basar is kosher. The basar shachut is kosher. The basar shachut kishahayu chatichas asimanim is kosher. I don't have to relate to who the shochet was in terms of distinct populations. Or not. Maybe that's good for the argument. No, maybe it's whenever you can identify more precise category or group, you shouldn't be applying or universalizing a rov. That in itself could be a question. The point will be as follows. If I focus more on the shchitos, on the behema, on the basar, then at least I can question whether I have the right to break things down to another group of different types of shochtim. However, if the rov itself is about the shochtim, rov mitzvin etz shchita mumken hein is about the shochet. It's not about the basar, it's not about the behema shchuta. It's really about the shochet, and everything flows from there. If that's the case, so then certainly I have the right to say, well, there are different populations of shochtim. And for sure, the chalos, rov mitzvin etz shchita mumken hein, is limited to a certain kind. If we can identify a kind which carve it out of the rov, which simply doesn't apply, then of course we have to. So it could be, my second suggestion then is, that the argument about the scope of rov mitzvin etz shchita mumken hein is not what impact do these various factors have in diluting the rov, or how much does it need to be diluted? That's the quantitative question number one. But rather, it's a legal formal question, which is this rov focused on the result, the basar, or the behema, or is it more on the gavra shochet? And if it is focused on the gavra shochet, then such distinctions are much more compelling, maybe even mukhrach. There's a third possibility, and that's what the Beis Halevi himself says. Beis Halevi came up with this idea, which is very, very, I think, very compelling. To explain the Rambam, and then later on he explains it in Simen Dalet, he explains it in more extensively about Rov Mitzvin Etz Shchita Mumken Hein, as applied to other issues as well. He says basically the following. This is based on a rov like every other rov, or what we're dealing with here is an extension of the idea of cheskas kashrus. After all, the way the ra'ah in Torah Abayis formulates the din of rov and tzunei tzashkut mumkene, actually when he tries to explain why it doesn't apply to mula te'ava. So again, it's hard to know how to take it. but he definitely emphasizes the kashrus agavra. The question is whether the kashrus agavra of somebody who is nigash, I guess, lemelechas hakodesh of shchita, is still part of the umdana of the rov, or it becomes more than that. So he says, One second. Gotta find the right line. ואני אומר שאי אפשר לדין זה, אלא בשידוע... No, that's wrong. One second. I had it before. One second. This is the one about the sacking. Some dalid. Oh, here it is. Okay. Anybody else have the Taurus Abayis? Help me out here. It's a terrific line. Yeah, the Ra.
It says, Chashud Hulanu L'Teavon Shalom?
Could be. Which, what page is
it? I have a different edition.
Oh, you have a different edition?
It's on Od Katav.
Od Katav Umiyu Umkatan?
It's where he argues on the Rashba regarding Rofin
Seir. By Teavon?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the one I'm looking for. It is here, but...
It starts with Od Katav Umistavarash.
It's up here
to
the top of
Hey
with Bays. Hey with Bays? That's where it talks about Romer.
Yeah, one second. But one, the line I'm looking for before he talks about the question of Old Kasim establish a filu mumel teyavin somchen al chazak and romer tzuin et shchita mumchenei destame itmar mekivin shaken a filu meni aduolanu miyodei ha shchita shochet bein olav bein atzma ubebarik sakim enosanu. That's not the line that I want. I feel in a baki v'ni odeya klal shochet hu l'tavo v'ochel. Al emes kelashen acher shakasav kol mumar afil l'tayavon yesh lachush acharav ein somchen olav ela b'shiyadua shuhu mumcha. You know what it is? I know what I'm... okay, it's applied to that, but it's the piece that he has on the bigger question, where he says that it's not rov, but it's kol. Okay. Okay, that's the one on, okay, you know, it applies to that, but... Yeah. Here, this is on, again, those who have Vavmud base in the Taurus Abayis. Do you have a better edition? Is that... Just typing, though, nothing...
No, it's different page numbers.
Uh-huh. I'm saying, is it a better text?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Devada ki amrina rov mitzui neitzo shchita mumchenei lav dafka rov, we'll get this in a minute, ola fuke miut, dalo efshar, imkein lo sogilon yezis kashas, which we'll get back to. And then he says, ela kola mitzuyin karminan, she'enacha matzui eitzo shchita liolam, ela mumcha. Gafilu miut leka. Why did not get rov, ishgeris lashon hu? The Talmud Milsa, the Kol HaMitzuyin Eitz is the line I want. I'm sorry, it applies to the Teyavon, but it's not in the piece of Teyavon. The Talmud Milsa, the Kol HaMitzuyin Eitz al Shchita Somchen Anu Lomar Shehein Mumchen Lefishadavar Mefursam Hu Bi Yisrael Vafilu Eitz al Amei Haaretz Shehanevela Asura V'chein Eivar Menachai Asur V'ein Takana Bazel B'Shchita Hilkach ein adam Yisrael nizkak lishkot liolam elam ken yodea hilchos shchita. Ve'eludvarim kilurin leinayim. Now that line is very interesting. So one could read that line and say that, you know, the knowledge, the awareness of the requirements of a shochet are so, you know, widespread among Klal Yisrael that, you know, no one would have the presumption, you know, to pick up a shechita knife knowing, you know, what the stakes are, knowing that everybody else knows what the stakes are, right? Unless he truly was qualified. So it just, you know, the numbers just, you know, add up to such an extent that it's kol hamitzuyin etzos shechita mumchen he. Of course, the Rajba in the Mishver Sabayis says, number one, what are you talking about? Sometimes rov means, sometimes kol rather means rov, but that's because rubo is kakulo, but we never find that rov means kol. That's question number one. And he quotes different makaros. Number two, he says, it's just factually incorrect. I mean, what does it mean when the Ra'ah says kol? I mean, no one, there are no exceptions to this rule. Obviously, there have to be exceptions to the rule. And that in two senses. Number one, there are mumchim who mess up in their shechita. That's question number one. Okay, that's a big issue. I already mentioned this on Tuesday. Mishmer Sabayis keeps mentioning that in different contexts. And we'll see today again, right? There are mumchim whose shechita is still not good. They make mistakes. But also, there are non-mumchim, you know, who do a proper shechita. And thirdly, there are just factually, as I say, people who pick up a shechita knife with all the trepidation that the Ra'ah describes, who are presumptuous and not worthy, not trained. I mean, no one can deny that there are going to be some people. Those are the Rajba's questions, linguistic questions and other questions. Okay. So he just says the whole thing is just wrong. Ishtak ha'dava v'lo yamar. Shogag harbe b'mav mesh amar ze. Ein b'chol ta'am av tam l'shvach. Mash Omar Shakol Yodim Shaila Takana Lebeshita Hainami Takana Avdi Arishkuta Lefneim. Right? They'll say, good, we can do a Shkita too. Oh, Dimishum the Veil of Aver Menachai, Vikia Shkuta Ide Israel Shani Ode Hoka Shkita Nevelahu. Oh Chayavan Alem Shum Aver Menachai. That's we discussed on Tuesday. Maybe the Ra'ah really thinks that the qualification is necessary. Any other divra hitu. Vinir Shosa Shkita Smisha Eno Mumcha. Keshkitas nachri v'zushog gdolos shebigdolos. Shilu bal yau v'amar lo shav lo daras v'nasa shkuta yado. Osheru acherim merachok. Right? Nila achlinan lei. And so on. And there is a miyut. So what is the answer for the Ra'ah? So the Ritva read the Ra'ah. If you look at the Ritva here in Chulin and Dav Gimel on the base. So the Ritva read the Ra'ah. That the pshat is, when you say hakol and not rov, what you mean is that there's no miyut hamatzui. Okay? There's no miyut hamatzui. I mean, it's a very strong rov. The miyuta is kamandale, so in that sense, it's hakol. If that's really what it means, then it answers all the Rajba's questions in that way. Meaning, you know, of course, you know, it says rov, it means kol, because it really is rov. We're not denying the reality, and we're not denying the possibility that a non-mumcha could check either, but this is all basically miyut shena matsui, so the ishgeres lashon is a question, meaning sometimes rov means kol, and sometimes kol means rov. Where do we find that rov means kol? Here rov means kol in the sense that it really is a rov that's treated as a kol, because miyuta kamandale. So that's how the Ritva reads the Ra'ah. But it really does not sound that way in the Ra'ah. It really doesn't sound that way at all. So the way that Beis HaLevi reads the Ra'ah, and then later in Siman Daled he quotes the Ra'ah, is that basically what's happening here is the rove is not the basis for the assumption or presumption of kashrus. The presumption of kashrus is based on Eid Echad Neman Bisurin. Cheskas kashrus. Eid Echad Neman Bisurin can take place in one of two ways. Sometimes it's explicit, right? You testify about something, you say barely. And sometimes it's implicit. If I'm shochet and I hand over the basar after the shechita, then basically what I'm saying is, on my say so, on my cheskas kashrus, you can eat this basar. So basically what the ra'ah is saying is, it's kol, not rov. Because every cheskas kashrus is treated as a kol, al pidin. Right? When two edim come to court and they testify. Right, you're not going to say, 80%, 90%, this is really what happened. We say, it's Eidus, it's Vada. Eidus is stronger than Nemanus. But in Isurim, where all you need is Nemanus, when Eid Echad says, this is Shuman, we don't say, in 90%, 95%, 98% of the cases, if the guy says Shuman, he A, knows what he's talking about, B, isn't some, crazy... spiteful individual, who's going to lie about such a thing, right? Lahachis. So you can, based on a 98% rove, you can eat this object and presume that it's Shuman and not Chelev. We don't say that at all. We never say that. Right? We say every Jew comes before us, unless we have reason to suspect him otherwise, has Cheskas Kashrus. And if he, on the basis of Nemanus, says this is Shuman, then 100% it's Shuman. So the way the Beis HaLevi understands the Ra'ah, this is the way he understands the Rambam as well, is that that's basically what's happening in Rov Mitzui Neitzel Shechita Mumchenhe. Now he doesn't explain completely is the relationship, are there two things happening here at the same time or only one? In much of the Beis HaLevi, it's at least my reading of it, it sounds like he thinks that the Ra'ah's point is that rov is kol, and this is just another way of saying cheskas kashrus. Even if that's the case, it answers all the questions. Meaning, what did the Rajba ask? Well, there definitely is going to be a miut somewhere along the way, because the mumcha is going to mess up sometimes. The non mumcha, sometimes can do a proper shechita. Either way, there are going to be people who are going to violate. No matter how severe everybody knows Avram and Achai and Nevela are, it's going to be one in a thousand, one in a million, probably more. So what's going on? But according to the Beis HaLevi, there's no problem at all. Because basically what we're saying is, al pidin, this has the status of kol, of nemanus. End of story. So until we know otherwise, it's vadai as a halachic status of vadai kosher. They're very important yourself. So you could say that's all there is. I suspect that there's something a little bit more going on here, if you want to say this idea. Maybe Beis HaLevi says it, I have to look again. But I don't recall whether he says this point. But maybe it goes as follows. If it wasn't for rov mitzui neitzel shechita mumchenhein, or maybe we shouldn't say this for Ra'ar or for the Beis HaLevi, but we'll say it in light of what they're saying. Maybe there are two things happening at the same time. If it wasn't for the rove, which is based on convention, right, then this would not, then producing basar shchuta, tachas yadcha, would not come into the rubric of cheskas kashrus and an implicit edacha nam and bisurin. Now, that starts off with the idea that everybody knows that, these are the halachic requirements and takes them seriously. And that they're not presumptuous enough or risky enough, to go ahead and do shechita, right? Guessing that, maybe Isramile, that it'll be good. And once that poll of most people being nigash to melechas shechita, right? Or, and the halachic trepidation of what it is that's at stake. Once that rov exists, so then it establishes that this too comes under the rubric of cheskes kashrus. So there's a rov and there's a miut, right? And the words even rov mitzvin etz shchita mumchanim can be fine, but once you say rov mitzvin etz shchita mumchanim, then that triggers cheskes kashrus. I think that that's really what's happening. In the Rav used to like this Beis Halevi, that the Raz, speaking of cheskes kashrus, but he used to raise a suffek. Is this cheskes kashrus based on a rov? I think is what he meant, what I just said. Is it based on a rov, or is it just based on cheskes kashrus? Meaning it's the innate status of every Jew that you believe him about matters of Isurim, and you believe him about Shechita as well. For example, he used to raise it in a very acute way, Bizmanenu, would you say, Rov Mitzvin Eitzel Shechita Mumkane, if it wasn't true. Let's say there are a lot of presumptuous people and a lot of ignorant people, and let's say they, you know, are not hesitant or reticent to pick up a Shechita knife and, you know, go after that turkey or that chicken in order to, you know, be able to eat it. Would you say, do you need a rove in order to apply this or not? But I think what he meant was, again, I'm not sure. I think he meant this idea, which is that the question is there still a, it's the rove which establishes that this too is under the rubric of cheskes kashrus. Because if it wasn't that sensitivity, then we wouldn't assume this is just part of the basic Kedushas Yisrael. Yeah.
Why
would
it be Samachan? Because why, if there is a
kashrus
here, why
do you
need
rov? Well, the point is that this kashrus, it's not, I mean, just, it's certainly, remember, we're not talking about a case where a guy comes to court and he says, you know, this was Nishkat Kirai. There's a leap here. Namely, we're assuming that Kol Davar Sheyotze Tachas Kol Shochet B'Kol Yisrael, it's his cheskes kashrus. Not that he has cheskes kashrus only, but his cheskes kashrus declares, unless you know, there's some indication to the contrary, that tako behechsher nasa. Now the question is whether that implicit statement, based on the application of cheskes kashrus, is something that's automatic or not, or maybe depends only on a rov. To me, it makes sense that it would depend on the rov. Because if people said, oh, you know, we'll try our hands at Shechita, and they weren't so worried about it, and, or they didn't know whether Klal Yisrael was going to, so why would their cheskes kashrus? Now, if they came and said, I know how to do it, I did it well, lo shahisi, lo darasti, lo, you know, etc., right? That's something else. That would be yedachanem bisurim, unless you had reason to be choshed them. But if they don't, and it's just, you know, you find, no, you're not finding a piece of meat on the plate. Let's say you're finding, you know, a behema shkuta. Okay? And you even know that there was bedikas hasiman. But you still don't know who the shochet was, and whether daras or shahar or whatever. And he's not saying anything either. He's not here. Right. So even then you apply cheskes kashrus, that's the leap. But if rov mitzvin etz shchita, maybe yes. So I think that's what he was mistopic about. To me, it's a davar pashut that the. It's much better pshat in the Gemara. That would answer the Rajva's question, too, about the rov and the call. But again, you may not need it, because maybe what all the Ra'ah is really saying is it's a call because it's based on cheskes kashrus. But why call it rov? Again, according to the Ritva's reading of the Ra'ah, that it's based on miut, she'ena matsu, we understand why it's called rov and call at the same time. But if it really is a din of cheskes kashrus, why call it rov? That question still remains, even the Beis Halevi's reading of the Rav. But according to what I'm suggesting, I think that's what the Rav had in mind. Again, I can't be sure. According to that, I think it's perfect. Meaning there is a rov. It's a rov like any other rov. Just that this rov then expands something which is far more powerful, namely cheskes kashrus. Of course, if you say this, so then, will that apply to Mumar, Ochel? That's why I was looking in the wrong place. Again, so, this the Beis HaLevi does say. Namely, he says, well, the Rambam He says, in my opinion, the Rishonim who really hold this idea of Cheskas Kashrus, implicit Cheskas Kashrus, are the Ra'ah and the Rambam. That's the pshat of the Ra'ah. That's what he says in Siman Dalet about Kol. He says, and that's also the pshat in the Rambam with the Gneva. So basically, the Beis Halevi wants to connect two issues. He says, if the Ra'ah and the Rambam are the ones who say, the Rambam is not so clear, but the Rajba read the Rambam that way. They're the ones who say that Rov Mitzvah Neitzah Shechita Mumah Kanein doesn't apply to Mumar Ochel L'Teyava. Right? Whereas the other Rishonim, mostly, say that it does. That's because, says the Beis Halevi, the other Rishonim hold that Rov Mitzvah Neitzah Shechita Mumah Kanein is really a Rov, a regular Rov. So that Rov includes Mumar L'Teyava, and he might be adept, right? Or another way to say it, either he could be adept, or, like I said before, maybe you don't have the right to start breaking down into smaller populations. Although, personally, I would think that you always should break down into smaller populations, but at least that's an issue in Rov and Miyum. Okay, but if the point is that you have Rov, Mitzui, Netzel, Shechita, Mumchenhei, but that isn't the end of the story, it's not the most important part of the story. That's just what triggers Cheskas Kashrus. So, do you have an implicit Cheskas Kashrus on matters of Shechita from a Mumar Ochel Nevelos L'Teyavo? Right? Now, you do have a... Well, here it's a little tricky for the Rambam, actually. But does Eidecha Neman B'Isurim apply to a Choshur or to a Mumar, L'davar Acher? So that's a little bit tricky. Generally, the answer is yes. That's the Rambam in Hilchos Shechita, Perek Dalet. And that's the Rambam that we read earlier in the year, Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Zayin. Right? The Rambam says that we believe the kashrus of the animal based on Yedecha Nam Bisurin. The Rambam says, after all, even somebody who is Pasol Eidos Gemura is still Neman and Yedecha Neman Bisurin, and so on and so forth. But the point may be that's still not true. That may be for a Rasha, it may not be true for a Mumar L'Teyavon. Because remember, the Rambam Shita is that Mumar L'Teyavon L'Inyan Davarzeh is not only a Mumar L'Nevela, the Rambam himself, in other words, but it's even a Mumar L'Davaracher. So there might be a difference between a Mumar and a Rasha. Again, anybody who's in violation of a single Avera, Sheyesh B'Malkus, is Pasul L'Eidos, but that doesn't make him a Mumar. And that, the Rambam is right. There's a difference between the standards of Eidos and the standards of Nemanos. That's what the Rambam is saying in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Eidos Halacha Zayin. But where you have a real Mumar, the point is, he loses his Cheskas Kashrus. Again, for the other Rishonim, a Mumar L'Osa Davar loses his Cheskas Kashrus on Osa Davar. And for the Rambam, even a general Mumar L'Teyavon loses his Cheskas Kashrus on matters of Yisurim that relate to questions of Teyavon and not Teyavon. So, even according to the Rambam, what could make this Tliya, although for the Rambam it's a little bit trickier, and certainly according to the Ra'ah, is it a coincidence that the Ra'ah says both of these things? Mumar L'Teyavon is excluded from Rov Mitzuyin. Rov Mitzuyin is Kol based on this idea. And then add to that the other two Ra'az that we saw on Tuesday, which is the Ra'az Shita about Katan. The Ra'az says that Katan is excluded any time you need Nemanus. But does the Shochet need to be a Neman? Right? So that's what the Rajba says in Mishperes Abayis, again. He says, what is he talking about? You know, whether you decide to rely on the Katan or not is one question. Okay, but the idea that just because he's not a Neman in Hilchos Eidecha Neman B'Yisurim, that therefore Shchitaso is Psula, says the Mishmeres Abayis, that's not true. Is it? Right? But maybe for the Ra'ah, he thinks that the Ra'ah thinks it's true. So the Ra'ah's comment about Katan, the Ra'ah's comment about Mumar L'Teyavon, and his comment about Kol actually working very nicely together. The Shach's comment about Eved Right? Eved she'enu meshuchrar is pasul l'shchita because he's not reliable. So again, this whole idea is that, are there two issues? Number one is, you know, just practical question or more than that. But we're not talking about psul gavra necessarily here. But what we are saying is that implicit in handing over the behema shchuta, if implicit in that needs to be cheskas kashrus, an implicit statement of Eirecho Nemun Bisurin, so then in Okanami it will work to anybody who is excluded from Eirecho Nemun Bisurin. Yeah. Oh, you have a question? Okay. Good. Okay, so that is okay, so basically to sum up what we've discussed so far is Roben Tzvi Netzer Shechita Mumchen Heim, we pask in that way. There's a debate whether it applies to Basar B'Ka'ara, Basar Shchuta B'li B'dika Simanim, whether it applies to Mumar Ochel Nevelos L'Teyavon, whether it applies to a Ganav, we'll take the Beis Halevi's understanding of the Rambam, whether it applies to a case of Ganav V'Shachat, assuming that the Shechita is a continuation, especially, of the Iser of Geneva. So we've suggested three approaches. One is that it's all quantitative and affects the percentages of the rov and the miut. That's one possibility. I think it does to some extent. I don't like that as an approach, but I think it is factually correct that it affects the percentages. The second issue is whether rov mitzui neitzah shchita refers to cheftza, either basar or behima shchuta, or does it really refer to gavra shochtim? It's a rov about shochtim. I think that we'll get back to that, but that's an important issue. It's an important issue here in terms of whether or not you naturally separate the population, a certain gavra population, like mumrim l'teyavon. And the third approach, which I think is the most compelling one, based on the Beis Halevi, especially for the Ra'ah and possibly for the Rambam, is that rov mitzui neitzah shchita mumchen hein is just another way of saying cheskas kashrus, or the way I understand it, which is rov mitzui neitzah shchita hein allows you to expand the idea of cheskas kashrus to implicitly handing over a behema shkuta. But basically, we're dealing with cheskas kashrus, and that's the reason why we never, ever question until we know otherwise. We view it always as a vadai that that there's no miut. For the very same reason, if we need the cheskas kashrus, we'll always view it as a vadai for somebody who doesn't have it. In other words, who's ein a mumcha, we'll always view it as a vadai that. Or at least the Suffolk Nevelos will be a vada. We won't worry about those other miut. It's a whole different approach to the problem of rov and miut, and miut to the miuta, as we'll explain further as we move on. Okay. So that's in terms of Ganav as well. Okay. Beis Halevi suggests that there could be other nafgamina, whether or not this is based on Cheskas Kashrus or not. And we'll see some of them as we move forward. One of them in particular I think is very interesting, and that is, what about Choshen Mishpat? The Sugya Bava Kama about an Tabach Uman Shekilkel. So in that Sugya, some of the Achronim asked the question, well, what about the rule of Rov Mitzui Neitzah Shechita Mumchenheim? How come we don't apply Rov Mitzui Neitzah Shechita Mumchenheim to assume that his Shechita was not Kilkel? So the Beis Halevi in his discussion says, oh, this should depend on our issue. If Rov Mitzui Neitzah Shechita Mumchenheim is really just a regular Rov, so right, then you have to discuss the question of, you know, Rov and Mammon, etc. You know, Ochemo Nacharov, Ein Ochemo Nacharov, what kind of Rov, you know, Rov Adi, Rov Garua, those kind of issues. However, if really the basis is not Rov Mitzui Neitzah Shechita Mumchen Hein as a Rov, but the fact that it either is, or in my understanding of it, it triggers a Cheskas Kashrus, Ein Echo Nem Bisurim, so then you're going to make a distinction between Mamanus and Yisur V'Heter. Because the Echanem Bisurim, Becheskas Kashrus of an individual, right, does not, especially an involved individual, is not going to work in Choshen Mishpat. They require Edim. They require real Raya. So if Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita is a regular Rov, maybe it'll work. Depends on those other issues. But if it's based on Cheskas Kashrus, then Dafka might not work. This would be a weakness. Now, of course, if you say what I said, this is the reason that I was assuming that the Beis Halevi understands that Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita Mumkanein Cheskas Kashrus isn't a two-step process, but it's a single idea. Namely, the Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita is another way of saying or signifying Cheskas Kashrus. Because if you say what I was saying before, which is that the Rov is what allows you to extend the Cheskas Kashrus to this halacha, so then basically you have two things. You have a Rov, and you have a Vadai Cheskas Kashrus. So the Vadai Cheskas Kashrus you don't have in Chosha Mishpat, but the Rov you still may have. You just don't treat it as a call. So it still may have the same effect, but it would be because, you know, in Yoredeya we're treating this as a Vadai, and we're not saying Smoch Miuta L'Chazaka or other such matters. So, you know, that we can't do anymore in Chosha Mishpat, because the Cheskas Kashrus doesn't help you. That standard of Nemanus doesn't work here. And therefore you're back with a regular Rov, and a regular Rov maybe isn't strong enough, you know, to always win. Maybe it wouldn't have been strong enough to always win in Yoredeya either. But at least we should be open to the possibility that that there really is still a Rov, and maybe the Rov would be enough. Maybe there are two dinim. There's a Rov, and there's a Vadai Cheskas Kashrus, but maybe the Rov would be strong enough. So that's an issue to look at. He also points out that the position of the Ra'an Rambam is not the mainstream position of most Rishonim, because if you look at the discussion about why we believe that a piece of meat is kosher, he said, so if you look at the Arzarua, he didn't say the Arzarua, but if he says, look at Tosas and Gittin, Besom and Beis, and if you look at the other, the Deos and the Mordechai, that he does quote, so he says, they basically are suggesting that, they go like this, they say, well, why do we believe the guy that this is kosher, why do we believe this is kosher meat? If you'll say Nechonem Bisurim, what about the problem of Chazak Yisura? Right? And if you'll say Biyado, but it's not Biyado Ata, so what are you going to say? Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita Mumchen Hein. Right? Well, that's not going to help you if there's no raya that it was Shachut, maybe it was Nechtach Bekofitz. So the Beis Halevi says that whole discussion basically differentiates between an Echon Hem Bisurim and Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita Mumchen Hein. Because basically what they're saying is, if you hold that an Echon Hem Bisurim doesn't apply to a Schazak Yisura, or doesn't apply to a Schazak Yisura when it's a Biyado, which is Eino Biyado Ata, right, with an Ayin, nonetheless, you can still invoke Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita Mumchen Hein. Right? Which means the Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita Mumkanein is not based on Cheskas Kashrus Eidechonem Bisurin. It's based on some other idea. However, again, I'll just make the same comment I made a second ago, which is, that's if you hold that it's either or. That if you think that the view of Cheskas Kashrus is mutually exclusive with there being a real Rov or using a real Rov Mitzvin Eitzah Shechita Mumkanein, then that would be a strong raya. Because there we're saying, well, there's no Eidechonem Bisurin. And yet, if not for the fact that Rov Mitzuyan doesn't solve the problem, we would have invoked Rov Mitzuyan. But if Rov Mitzuyan is still a Rov, just that it also allows you to extend Eid Echo Nem and Bisurin, so then we can understand those Rishonim possibly this way as well. I'm not saying that they hold that way, but I'm just saying it's not a Raya against. Because either way, there's an independent Rov Mitzuyan Eitzel Shvita. Only question is, you know, are there drawbacks? Is it going to cause you problems in Levarer, in, you know, in Efshe Levarer, Tzorach Levarer, in other issues, Smoke Muta L'Chazaka? Okay, you have to deal with that. But, and that's the advantage of having the Cheskas Kashrus idea. But if you still have Rov Mitzuyan, it can still solve some problems. It can still apply in some cases. I think this is just, again, further evidence that the Beis Halevi is assuming that This is the only single meaning of Rov Mitzvah Nitzvah Shechita Mumchen, that it really isn't a two-step process. Okay. Getting back now to one other issue. Yeah.
Rabbi is assuming that this is an extension of Eidechan of Misra, and why Misra would Eidechan of Misra not have applied to Shechita?
Well, no, yeah, what I was saying before is that we're wondering whether or not Eidach HaNemem B'Yisurim applies even B'Shtika. Can you assume, just when you find a piece of meat in the street, that the fact that that it was Yotze Tachas Yad, Eza Shochet, member of Klal Yisrael, that means that his Cheskas Kashrus is made, that number one,
all this wouldn't be needed when you have the tabach.
Well, some of it would be needed.
Okay.
I mean, what would be needed still would be two things. Number one, the issues that Tosas and the Mordechai and the Ortharua deal with. Namely, what about Eschat Misura? What about Biyado? Those kind of questions would still be needed. Secondly, question of Mumar, the Teyavon and things of that sort, where we probably wouldn't apply Edecho Nemon Yisurim. But what I'm saying that we wouldn't need the row for that. We could just say, the Haggadah is a Nemonus. But to assume that, Matzah, Gedi, Nevad, or Nignav even, the Shuk, that you still say Rov Mitzvah Nitzvah Shechita Mumchen, but that you, I think, require also the idea of the row. Now let's get back to another issue, and that is whether or not Rov Mitzvah Nitzvah Shechita Mumchen Hein is L'chadchila or B'diavad. We'll see whether it's one question or not. Rov Mitzvah Nitzvah Shechita Mumchen Hein L'chadchila or B'diavad. Again, I'm sorry, I'm not, I just wanted to get this topic since we had it lingering for a few days, and start calling on everybody again tomorrow. But Rov Mitzvah Nitzvah Shechita Mumchen Hein, is it l'chadchila or b'diavad? In other words, is it preferable to investigate the shochet in advance? And how that relates to the second question, which is, is there a requirement of b'dika la'achar ha'shchita? So the pashtus, we know that there's a huge machlokas about, efshel avar tzorach l'avarer. In many Klalei Hachara, we're going to discuss that too, if we don't get to it today, so when we finish all this tomorrow, we'll start with that and finish with it. Again, we touched it a little bit in Tzavik Tum B'Shus HaRabim, and it comes up in Svek Sveika, and in Svek Rabban and Lekula, Chazaka, and here we have it in the context of Rov, Efshe Levar or Tzorach Levar. Yes or no? Let's focus on the Rov for a minute. We'll try to fill in the picture in terms of other Klalei Hachra just very quickly in a couple of minutes. But so we know that this is tremendous machlokas harishonim in our sugya, whether efshe levar tzorach levarer or not. Right? You have the balamor and the ra'ah and the ritva, at least, who are saying in this sugya, ain't tzorach levarer. And you have the Gaonim, Ramban, Rashba, right, the Ran, the Rosh, all in defense of the Gaonim, right, who are saying in Efshe Levarer, Tzorich Levarer. So the Pashtus, that is the issue. Now again, according to the Ra'ah, it could be that the whole thing isn't that question at all anyway. That's if you hold like the Beis Halevi, so it's not a question of Efshe Levarer, it's not that the Raj, that the Ra'ah generally holds in Efshe Levarer, Afal Bichein Ain't Tzorich Levarer. It's that it's Kol, meaning it's Cheskas Kashrus. There's no issue. Okay. So this would be an exception, from that point of view. Whereas if you say like the Ritva's reading of the Ra, which is that it's maybe a case of Mi'at Sheinu Matsui, but basically it's still an issue of Rov, strong Rov, the Mi'at Sheinu Matsui, Efshe Levarer and Tzorach Levarer. Okay. So I'm saying, according to the Beis HaLevi, really this question of Roman Sunet Shita Mumkin Hain Biyachalavarer, according to the Ra'ah, is a whole different matter. Whole different matter. I would just add, of course, if you take my qualification of the Beis Halevi, then it's not a completely different matter, because still the only thing that triggers the extended Cheskes Kashrus is the Rove. So you still might have to relate to the question of Rove the Mokum Shef Shalavar. But according to the Beis Halevi, if I'm correct in reading him, the more stricter view, which is all we have here, is Cheskes Kashrus. So it's possible that the discussion of Efshel Levar, Tzarech Levarer, is really not the issue here at all. This is an unusual case. According to the Ritva's reading of the Ra, and even according to my qualification of the Beis Halevi, it would still be relevant. But either case, we have this general view. We have plenty of other Rishonim in any case who hold that there is this discussion. Clearly, according to the Baal HaMor, we're not operating with Cheskes Kashrus. Balamar saying, Afal pi she'ef she levarer, ein tzarech levarer. That's what the Ritva is saying. And the play of Rishonim, the name of the Gonim, are saying, ef she levarer, chayev levarer. But that's the case. So then basically, two scenarios would be treated in a similar way. And the question of lechatchila, and the question of b'di'eved, after the shechita, be'efshar levar. We would treat them in a similar way. Because in both cases, it seems like it's an issue of relying on a rov, but we saw mechan a rov, be'efshar levar. So either you could find out, you could be mevar beforehand, right? Give him a bechina beforehand, or you can give him bechina afterwards. It doesn't really make a difference one way or another. The only question that you might ask is, can you allow the guy to go ahead and be shochet almanas that you're going to be bodek afterwards, or do you have to be worried that maybe he'll run away, or maybe he'll forget to give him the bechina? Can you rely on the biror afterwards? But all things being equal, from a biror point of view, if not for the question of the chashash shema ishtali, something like that, and even that chashash is, not as terrible a chashash as it normally would be, as all the Rishonim point out, because normally we say, oh, we're afraid, that he won't do it. So that's normally in a case like, the bedika sasakin for the mumla teyavon, or the ochel kizayis in the case of the kuti, which is that if he forgets to do it, then it's also ma'akev b'di'evet. Here, at least we have a backup that even if he forgets to do it, right, b'di'evet, you can always rely on the ropes. Maybe l'chatchila you can be so meich on yourself that you'll be mevarer l'chatchila, considering that at worst you're going to lose out a l'chatchila and not a b'di'evet. So that would be that consideration. However, it seems like there is a middle shita, and the question is how to understand that middle shita. The middle shita is the shita that says that lechatchila you have to be bodek, the shochet, but im lo bodak, after the shechita, ein tzarech lemivdeke, even if he's omed lefanein. That seems strange. Right? Because we might have shach. If the point is that we don't rely on a rove, the makom shef, shalavarer, then we should be applying the bedika after the fact, before we eat the meat. Why is the critical moment the act of shechita? Why isn't it the act of eating from the shechita, from the heter of the shechita? Now, do we have such a shechita? Absolutely. Right? It could be even Shitas Rashi for all we know. Rashi and Gimel Amud Beis. Right? You have an interesting argument between, or not argument necessarily, it's hard to know. You have different formulations of Rashi and Tosis on Gimel Amud Beis. Rashi and Gimel Amud Beis says, Mumchen Hain, is that the Rashi? Here, Gimel Amud Beis. I'm having trouble finding everything today. mumchen hein, hilkachlo boy limivdike. Right? Roman sunet schoot schieten mumchen hein, hilkachlo boy limivdike. So what does that mean? Tosa says, v'shochtin af l'chatchila. So there's a debate how to understand this Rashi and how to understand this Tosas. It's generally assumed when Rashi says hilchot l'boy l'mivdake, that's a reference to after the Shechita. It doesn't have to be, but that's the generally the way Rashi is understood, that it refers to after the Shechita. L'boy l'mivdake l'achar ha-Shechita. And Tosas, it's clear that shochtin af l'chatchila. But I say there's a debate how to read each shita. The Beis Yosef says that Rashi here is like the Bala Itur and the Orzarua and the Rama, who think that l'chatchila you're not allowed to allow him to shecht. But b'diavad, if you do, then ain't tzarech l'mivdike. Again, it's not so clear in Rashi. If it's not Rashi, it doesn't matter. So it'll be the Bala Itur and the Arzarua. Goes Ashri quotes this Arzarua, right here on the spot, in the Rush. Was it Simon? Simon Hay?
Simon
Bav? Yeah. The Arzarua pasak nadafka b'diavad hechishakvar nishkata samchina naruba. Afogav the ika kamana shochet lo boy lemivdike. Rafil nignava tarnagal shabas liad Russia, the ika lemember iula gomer vishachit, yachach mitza, shchuta vabayas, vabashba, samchin aruba, lachatchila lo shavkina lemishchet adabankina le dekol hecha the ika levara lo samchin aruba. That's the Arzarua. And that's the Bala Itur. It's very strange. And that's how they interpret, that's how I say the Beis Yosef reads Rashi. It doesn't have to be the Pshat in Rashi. Maybe Rashi meant in Tzorach L'mivdike beforehand. But that's how the Beis Yosef reads Rashi. Either way, it's the Arzarua, the Bala Itur, the Rama. Tosas, on the other hand, they also debate how to read Tosas. Tosas says you can be Shochet L'chatchila. So the Rush in Simen Hay says that the pshat in Tosas is the Ri. Says the pshat in the Ri is that you can be shochet l'chatchila almanas livdok acharkach. In which case, Rashi, in this case, they understand Tosas like the Gaonim, like the Ramban, the Rajba, the Gaonim. Meaning, you need a birur. The birur can come either before it. It doesn't have to come before, and it can come afterwards. The Beis Yosef, again, disagrees. Beis Yosef thinks that the Rosh's Pshat is wrong, quotes the Rabbeinu Yerucham, who says that the Pshat in the Ri is like the Balamor. Meaning, there's no Tzorach Levarer at all, according to Tosas. Okay. So in Tosas there's a debate whether Tosas is like the Balamor or Tosas is like the Gonim. And in Rashi, there's a debate whether Rashi is like the Balamor. I'm sorry, whether Rashi is like the Balamor, okay, or Rashi is like the Gonim, or Rashi is like the Bala Itur, the Arzarua, and the Rama. Okay. Either way, what's important is to try to figure out this middle Shita. Because I said, we can understand very well the Shita of the Balamor, the shita that you don't require any birur. We can understand the shita that says you can get birur either before, or if you don't get it before, you can get it afterwards. But what about the shita that says be mevara before, but if you don't, no problem, you don't even l'chatchila have to be bodek after. That seems like a very strange, that seems like a strange shita. So before we even go further with that, there's a question to ask. That shita holds what about the following case? Let's say you're going to be shochet You let the guy shvi shochet almanas lebodko after the shechita. Will that work? According to maybe this Rashi, but again, the clear ones. The Itur, the Arzarua, and the Ramah. If you allow the guy to be shochet lechatchila almanas lebodko acharkach, will that work or not? Is that okay or not? Or is it only that you can't round lechatchila if you're not going to be bodek? But if you're intending to be bodek, it wouldn't be a problem. And that's a case within that shita that's not so clear. So the Beis Halevi says, I think in Simin Gimel or so, Dalin? I remember. I think it's Gimel. Beis Halevi says that Muskal Rishon, he would have thought that according to this shita, that would be fine. Because all the shita really means, one would think, said the Beis Halevi, is that we're a little more makil than the Gonim. As we require Birur, but, you know, only before the fact, not after the fact. But we're not more machmir than the Gonim. So if you wanted to rely on the Bedika afterwards, which even the Gonim say you can do, then certainly you should be able to do that for the Itur, the Orzarua, etc. You look confused. No? Okay, good. Everybody understands the question? Okay. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. He says, however, if you really look at the, again, the Beis Yosef, the way the Beis Yosef formulates the Orzarua, the way the Forfeiv formulates the Bala Itur, I should say, and if you look at the language of the Orzarua, in the Orzarua itself, it's clear that it's not so. I mean, it's clear that it isn't just a kula. When you compare this shita with the shita of the Gaonim, it's not just that there's a kula, namely, b'di'eved, after the shechita, you don't require b'dika. It's also a chumra. Namely, the Gaonim will allow you to let the shechita take place and only check later, and the Orzarua and the Itur will not, and the Ramah will not. They'll say that there is a kula here, you don't need b'dika after the fact, but the chumra is you always need b'dika in advance, even if you're intending to do b'dika after the fact. So why should that be? So the Beis Halevi himself says, well, you know, I wouldn't have thought that this was the case, because I thought it was just a bit of a kula within the view of the Gaonim, but no chumra. But, you know, since this is what they hold, so I'll tell you what the svara is. The svara is that it's ha b'ha talia. Namely, if you have a chiyuv b'dika after the fact, like the Gonim do, right? If you didn't do the Bedika before, you have to do the Bedika after. Then you can also be Somech to be Shochet Lechatchila Amanas, Livdok Achakach, because that Chiyuv, Achakach, is a Chiyuv. It's not something that you're going to be negligent about. And therefore, it's not considered like a violation of the Dindra Abanon either, because it's fine. You get the bedika afterwards if you don't get it beforehand. After all, the chiyuv is just as acute. However, if afterwards there's no chiyuv, so then you can't rely on the afterwards as a basis to be matir the beforehand either. That's the Beis Halevi. Okay. So he makes it pretty much very practical. The problem is, what really is this shita based on? So if you interpret like Beis Halevi, I guess it could just be, you know, you're an avarian d'rabbanan because you should have done l'chatchila and you can't rely on this thing later since you don't need it. So it's inferior. It's inferior as a chiyuv. It's inferior as an imperative. It's not as, you know, urgent. Fine. Is that really what's going on? I find it very fascinating that the language of the Orzarua, also quoted in the Agos HaShri, is that the reason you have to do this is because you don't rely on the rov b'tzarich levarer. Again, the language that he used, the kol heichad ikel levarer lo samchinin aruba. So just how does that work when you're saying that there's no chiyuv after the fact? If it wasn't for that language, one could have said something else. And this is what I mentioned, why I mentioned the shita the other day. One could have said that, you know, the requirement to be bodek in advance has nothing to do with rov, relying on a rov b'makom birur, not relying on a rov b'makom birur. It's a totally different idea. Namely, the idea that lechatchila, at least on a rabbanu level, there's a requirement of minui and gavra mumcha, right? If not minui specifically to be a shochet to get kabbalah, at least that he be a gavra mumcha. Just like there might be a requirement, that requirement might explain the exclusion of katan and isha and eved, right? And maybe that's why you require a neman and a mumcha, as we discussed. And maybe that might exclude you even ba'omid al gabav lechatchila. So one could have said that's what's going on here too. This shita holds that from the birur point of view, rov is fine and good. However, lechatchila shchita is a religion. Wait, I'm going to stop in a minute. Shchita is a religious function, and as a religious function, it requires bidik, it requires us to establish that you're a mumcha. Just like we said about kol mili, right, the larami alei dinish, right, you can't get that lumafreya because if the problem was the minui and the status and the stature of the shochet, you can't get any of that lumafreya. But if the orzarua udine are quoting birur, so obviously that's not what they have in mind. So what is going on here? So I'd like to suggest several things. I guess we'll have to pick up on this tomorrow. Let me just say one thing, and then I'll continue with the rest. One thing I think may be based on what we were discussing earlier, which is Rov Mitzvah Netzah Shchita Mumkenheim is about the behema and the kashrus of the basar, or it's about the shochet. So if it's about the shochet, then maybe one can say there's a huge difference between the Tzorach Lebarer before the Shchita and after the Shchita. If it's all about the basar and the kashrus directly, so then the critical moment is the moment of achila, heter achila. And it shouldn't matter to us whether or not the bedikah took place before the ma'isa shchita or after the ma'isa shchita. But if Rov Mitzvah Netzah Shchita basically says, listen, the we're talking about a rov on the gavra hashochet. So you shouldn't be relying that the gavra shochet is part of that rov. But once he's shochet, so then already, it's true that it's efshel levarer from the perspective of the behema, and from the perspective of the basar, but the point is, you already applied the rov. In other words, there's a difference between not using a rov and not relying on a rov. So if Rov Mitzvah Netzah Shchita Mumkenheim is about the shochtim and not about the basar, so then basically the second that you do the shchita, you're already using the rov. Then it's a question of applying the rov. There's no din of efshel levarer. To create the rov where you don't need to, that's a whole different matter. But if everything's about the basar and the kashrus of the basar or of the shchita, then essentially you haven't progressed or advanced at all until you've actually eaten the basar. So if efshel levarer, tzorach levarer, it would apply to both. That's one suggestion. So we'll continue with more suggestions tomorrow, and then we'll continue with the rest of this. We still have to go through the language quickly of the Palamor and the Ramban and the Mishmeres Habayis. Well, the other Marbakom was to finish this off tomorrow, and I want to start at least surveying the issues in Mumar tomorrow as well. Okay.
Yeah. That also be why the Ramban holds like the Gaon still doesn't like the Bahag's Pshat, because once you're already relying on the Rove, so the Ramban says, oh, great that we're queasy about using the Rove initially, but once you're already relying on the Rove,
maybe. So then maybe. But then already, Keskos, you're not going to, it'll be a slap in the face of Keskos. You know what, maybe there's no class today?
No class today.
Okay, we can dive into this
stuff. There are Friday class tonight, no class here. So
there's no class here.
There's class, but there's no class.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get my usual stairs.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't really understand the distinction between when you were basically doing the thing and when you wanted to stay in the basalatis.
You want to just wait out of the shed?
Okay, sure.
I'm just saying that the basalatis is the same level to me. He is Kaskaskar.
Yeah.
And I was trying to explain that you still need the role to tell you that both people respect this and whatever, and that they wouldn't be, you know, Motsi, Shakur, Shaloka Hoga, and Hakas Yanda. I still need that role in order to then say, oh, yes, that's part of the Kesem's consciousness.
Although I don't understand how today's lady scar works. Basically, lady scar works without your explanation. I don't see how he says. I don't see how he says that rose is an issue of chesed kashas. Like you're saying that rose generates chesed kashas. I don't see, according to basically what generates it, how rose translates.
Sure, either, but he thinks that there's that responsibility. It's separate of how people think of it. No, he's saying separate how people think.
מלך ומי זה מחיה ותרח ישרו על בני אמן אתה לך יוס מסם ברכתו אדוני מחיה מסם קדש ישרו על בן עולם כשם שמקדישים עושה ביש מהם הרום חג עושה בים יחד וקרא זה על זה אביה מר קדוש 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 אדוני צוז מלך לארץ כבדו למסם ברכמי רום ברוך לבוא אדוני מוחמל דריקו שלב עשו בלימור אבינו כי חטאנו מחלנו מכינו כי פשענו כי נחל וסלח אתה ברכתו אדוני חנון הרבה לסלוח ובעוניינו ובריבינו גלינו מרע למנשמך כי גול חזק אתה ברכתו אדוני כואל ישראל ופוינו אדוני ונערפאו שינו מנבשי הכיסי לסינו אתה ועלי רפואה שלמה לכל מקלסינו כי המלך רבי נאמן ורחמן אתה ברכתו אדוני וחולי עמו ישראל וחלינו אדוני אלוהינו עשה שנה הזאת את כל מיני סבסל הטובה וסיד ברכה על פני אדמה סבינו ותובך רוב, ריח שנה עשינו כשנים הטובות, ברוך אתה, אדוני, ברוך השונים. עכשיו בשופר גדול לחירוסינו, מסעניס לתביץ קליותינו. קבצינו יחד, נרבק נפלס הארץ, ברוך אתה, אדוני, מתביץ שכי עמו ישראל. שבה שותינו כבר ראשונה, וגיועתינו כבר תחילה. תעשר ממנו גנוע נחום, לא חולינו אתה, אדוני, לבבך מחסד ברחמים וצחקינו במשפט, ברוך אתה, אדוני, הלכו הועץ, לך המשפט. מה שלימתי, סיפו אבו חולי שעת רגע טובי, וחולי בחם הירוי קריסו. ואז ידי מהיר עשה הכר, ושבר וסמגר וסכני עד מהירה בימינו, ברוך אתה, אדוני, שחרר בי ומחני אז ידי. על הצדיקים ועל החסידים, על זקניהם חלב אין תשעה, על פיתה סופריהם. אדוני, יסדת ואולים, יהיה מורחמי אחד, לא ידעינו, תצחי,